One verse of scripture that we want to lift out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Paul writes to us, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." A great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. From this, we want to share with you just the thought, a door of opportunity. You may be seated. I want to remind you that after this service, we will be having the receiving or recognizing our new members. So we ask that you would be a part of that downstairs in the lower auditorium. And again, our watch night service will be starting at 10 p.m. We're going to have a great time singing, and Greg's going to have a song, right? You going to have some? Okay. Your thumbs up? Okay. Amen. So, Carrie, we need you on standby. So we'll get there. Amen. Paul writes this short verse. And at first when I read it, I thought to myself, why would he say, I have many adversaries, and at the same time, a great door has been opened to me? That's not the way we think. When we think about adversaries, we think about problems, we think about challenges, we think about adversity, we think about barriers, we think about what we can't do because there's something against us. An adversary, an enemy, something that is in our way. And what we don't want is for things to be in our way. So what we're going to do today is we're going to find out how to have success while facing these adversaries. Does that sound good? And I'm not going to tell you what it is until the end of the sermon. So you got to pay attention. But let's look at this. Let's look at some of the things that Paul was facing, and how does that apply to us today and what we're facing? If you have read the book of Acts, it does not begin, everything went well for them. Nor does it end, they all lived happily ever after. They had problem after problem after problem. Paul, on his missionary journeys, encountered just many obstacles in his way, but he did not allow those things to stop him. Now, here you are on the brink of another year. And the forecast that you would like to have, sunny, bright, things going your way, everybody in your corner, right? But what are the chances of that happening? What are the chances that everything is going to go your way? Let me give you some old, down-home, old-folk theology. You're going to be sometimes up and sometime down. And sometime, as the old preacher would say, level with the ground. So the best thing that you and I can do is to recognize that in the midst of these problems, there might be an opportunity awaiting us. Is that all right? I want you to think along the lines, not about what you can't do, but what you can do. Now, here's your first praise opportunity. Look at all the stuff that God brought you through. And if you can't praise him for what he brought you through, I don't know what to say to you. As a matter of fact, I know about some of your problems, and I'm going to praise him for you because you're still standing. You had mess to come your way, but you're still standing. You had problems to come into your life, but you're still standing. The devil thought he had you, but God blessed you, and you're still standing. Look at somebody, tell them I'm still standing. Now, when you get to that place in life, that you stop worrying about the problems you're going to face and you start thinking about what God has already brought you through, it gives you this thing called confidence. And as you have that confidence, you are now able and ready to face anything that comes your way. Will that preach? Paul is a witness because he's gone on missionary journeys and he's writing to the church at Corinth. And he's not telling them, well, here's what I went through at Lystra. Here's what I went through at Iconia. Here's what I went through in Ephesus. He said, no, I know I got some enemies. I know I've had some problems. But I'm looking at it as an opportunity and as a way of me moving forward with confidence that if God brought me this far, there's not a doubt in my mind that God can't take me every step of the way. Do I have any witnesses in here today? But here's the challenge. Here's the thing that we are challenged with. Here's the issue that we have to face. We've got to understand that success and problems do go together. You don't exclude problems and think you're going to have success. It's the people who do their research after they had a setback and find out where they went wrong so that the next time they are y'all in the house? So that the next time they face that problem, oh, they got it. They got it. Y'all got it over here? So when you have these issues in life, these things that come up, and they will, 2019 ain't playing. And you just a little bit older, which means you can't run as fast. You can't jump like you used to do, and you can't get out of the way fast enough. So what you've got to do is you've got to be prepared. You've got to make sure that you understand that these problems are going to come. And I can tell you, it's the people that have been able to face the problem and then move on past it. Amen. Move on past it. I'm getting into tomorrow night's message, but a lot of folk, they have baggage that they like to keep. Y'all ain't hearing me. If you keep stuff too long, it'll stank on you. It'll spoil on you. It'll mess you up. Amen, somebody. Don't smell like what you've been through. That'll preach. All right. So you've got to think about it and you've got to understand that success and problems do go together. The other thing, when you think about success and problems, you got to think about what Jesus went through. If they nailed him to a cross, if they ridiculed and they talked about him, what in the world do you think they're going to do with you? Amen? Second issue, second challenge that we face is that of a balance between comfort and confidence in Christ. The modern Christian wants God or is seeking God to give them pain relievers. Whenever I go through a problem, just relieve the pain, Lord. Just take me away out of this. And that's not the way this thing works. Paul is saying that the only way that you can access the power of God is when the power of the enemy is coming against you. Through your suffering, you will begin to understand what resurrection power is. How many of you have been down and almost out? But if it had not been for the Lord, who was on your side, you don't even know how you made it. You don't even understand all of the issues and all of the things that you face. And what Paul is saying, when you come to these places in life, it's not always the comfort. Sometimes it's the confidence. How in the world could you sit in a prison and write encouraging messages to other people unless you had confidence? But when you know that you know, When you understand that God didn't bring you this far to give up on you now, when you know that the devil tried everything he could to get you to stop and you still want to keep on going, that's confidence. You learn from experience that God does not have to comfort you all the time. He will. You know you've got the comfort. But sometimes the comfort does not come from exterior things. Sometimes it comes on the inside. Amen. Where God begins to move on your heart and to let you know I'm with you, that I will never abandon you. So what I think about, what I'm often thinking about, is that maybe we need to go back and learn our ABCs. But rather than the ABCs of the alphabet, we got to understand the ABCs of opportunity. How does that work? The people that have accomplished great things, that have gone through and created great things and have made these wonderful inventions, they had obstacles, they had problems that had come their way. The first time that Alexander Graham Bell sat down and wanted to create a device that would help in hearing, it wasn't a success. Matter of fact, it was a flop. I can guarantee you that the inventor of, or the person that discovered the electric light, they weren't able to have success. Matter of fact, they had burnout. The elements would literally burn out before they would light up. You're going to have some obstacles. But I'm going to tell you that those obstacles, wrapped up in that problem, is your opportunity. Wrapped up in that difficulty is your way of saying, I'm stronger now. Wrapped up in that issue that you have faced is now a time for you to stand on top of it and say, grace brought me this far and grace is going to take me on. Amen. So I want to challenge you on this last Sunday of this year. I want to challenge you to not look at bad things as bad things in themselves, but look at them as stepping stones and ways that God can elevate you. Amen. Am I preaching to anybody? Amen. Otherwise, you will repeat some of the same things that defeated you in 2018, they're going to defeat you again. You got to be strong in the Lord. Put on your boxing gloves, because we're getting ready. As my grandma said, we're fitting to fight now. I don't want you to end this year on a bad note. The fact that you're still living says something. I like that. Miss Jessie, you like that? Yeah, the fact that we still made it. Amen. May not have been smiling all the time, but we had joy in our heart. Are y'all in the house? So the first A, what we call the ABCs of opportunity, adversaries are opportunities for advancement. Adversaries are opportunities for advancement. UVA won yesterday, I think it was. Beat South Carolina, right? But what if they'd never played anybody? What if they had never had anybody to play against? Matter of fact, Virginia Tech whooped up on them, right? But they came back. Huh? What if you never had any challenges? No one to oppose you. And if you to think that you're all that good, you could not be strong. What has caused you to advance has been the fact that you've had adversities and you've had adversaries. Now, I know there's some of you, I want everybody to like me. If it wasn't rude, I'd come over and slap you. But that'd just be plain rude. You better wake up. Everybody's not gonna like you, but that's okay. That's okay. That's really all right. As a matter of fact, it's their problem if they don't like you. Go and tell yourself, I like myself, and that's good enough. Go and do it. Now, I ain't say hug yourself. Some of y'all over there, I love me. I didn't say hug yourself. I said like yourself. Indeed, the Bible does say, if you don't know how to love yourself, how in the world can you love others? Doesn't it say that? So what I want you to understand is that every time that you're facing an enemy situation, every time you find yourself behind enemy territories, and Paul did, He'd go to one town, and the only thing he wanted to do, Greg, was to preach the gospel. He'd go into a town and say, okay, I'm going to preach the gospel, and folks would get mad. As a matter of fact, they were either beating him up, stoning him, or whipping him because he just preached the gospel. But what did he do? He said, you know what? Time for me to advance and move on because I know the Lord has a plan for my life, and it's time for you to say the same thing. It's time for you to start saying to yourself, I'm going to advance. Even if it means I've got to fight in order to do God's will, I will do just that. Amen? Amen. Is that encouraging? Amen. Second thing, the B, is not only will you have adversaries, you'll have barriers. You'll have barriers. And sometimes we consider them roadblocks. But I always look at a roadblock this way. If you can move it, it ain't a roadblock. You know, the places where they have these yellow cones and say, you're not supposed to go through. I'm sorry, I'm just that type of person. If I see a barrier and I know that I need to get over to the other side, I'm going to look this way and I'm going to look that way. And if there are no police officers, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to move it. That's just me, amen? All right, let me move on. I didn't say break God's rule, but sometimes people want to keep you from where you need to be. Everybody else can get through except you. Everybody else going through, and as soon as you get ready to come through, now they want to put, no, step on the... I know y'all said, this man is radical. I just radically believe, amen? If you sit back and if you start saying to yourself that every time someone disagrees with you, that's a barrier, then you're going to always live behind that barrier. And what I don't want to see you do is to spend the rest of your life living comfortably behind a barrier that you know that you can make it through. Paul did not take no for an answer. Matter of fact, he and Silas went to Philippi. And at Philippi, he began to preach. And there was this young girl that had a demon spirit and would follow them around. She had a demon spirit of fortune telling. Yeah, that's a demon spirit. Palm reading, that's a demon spirit. Yeah, while they reading your palm, you greasing theirs. That's a demon spirit, amen. You don't get your cue from a star or from a sign in your hand. You get it from Christ. Amen? We used to live that way when we were in darkness. Can I talk to somebody? We used to read our zodiac. But now I don't need a zodiac because I ain't a maniac. I got plenty of sins. I will trust in the Lord. I used to be a Sagittarius. You know the guy with the arrow? But now I'm the one with the cross and that cross of Jesus. Amen? So you don't need these barriers in your life. You don't need these things that's going to hold you back because you got the Lord on your side. Paul would go into these places and he would understand that now is my opportunity to fight for what is right. He would have all kinds of things that would happen to him. They locked him up at Philippi. They beat him up. And guess what? At midnight, God sent an earthquake. God sent an earthquake, but it wasn't just the earthquake, God shaking things up. Right after the earthquake, where everyone's shackles were loose, guess what Paul did one more time? He preached. And the jailer got saved. So sometimes people are watching you and watch as you go through your situation and as you hold your head up, they're looking at you and they're saying, now, if they can make it through, then why can't I make it? So let me find out what they've got so I can get what they've got and I can make it up. Hey. Are y'all in the house? These barriers are opportunities for us to believe. In 2007, this church, right where you're sitting, burned. And we could have said, that's a barrier. But you know what we did? We got out by the old tree. And we started praying. And we started working together. At first, we didn't know what to do, but we knew God was up to something. And guess what? The Lord not only brought us back, but but he brought us back stronger. Hey. Amen. He brought us back with an attitude. Amen. You know, when you go through something and you make it, you start getting that. Yeah, that's right. You try it again. I know. I'll say, my wife looking at me said, why are you so radical today? I ain't had my rice yet. The last is, which is a C. Not only are there adversaries and barriers, you're going to find challenges. Challenges. I know some people, they believe in inspiration only. But I believe in inspiration and information. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not be ashamed. I know it sounds good. The Lord going to make a way somehow. But I want to know what that way is. And I believe that as you study God's word, as you spend time in learning what thus saith the Lord, it will help you to face your challenges. Paul was not an uneducated man. He didn't just go on inspiration alone. He went on information. He recognized that the training and all of the things that he had in his life could help him to propel the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you take on that attitude, I might not know it now, but just give me a while. Just give me a while, and I will learn those things that God would have me to do. And so we find that we have to also be engaged in this learning process of taking on new challenges in Christ as we learn more about his ways, and more importantly, we learn about his heart. I don't just want to know the things that God has. I want to know what's on God's heart so that what's on God's heart can be on mine. And it takes courage. Let me just share with you something that happened to Paul when he was in the situation of facing these challenges. Here he is. He's out on the sea. And he warns the people that are going out. He said, now, this is not good because every time they've tried to take this trip to Rome at this time of the year, it ended up in shipwreck. But you know, when folks are more interested in money and they want to take risk, they'll try anything. Sure enough. The ship ended up in a storm. Euroclydon is the name of the storm. And so when they had gone through that storm, they recognized, man, we're in trouble now. And everybody was afraid. Throwing stuff overboard. Some of the people wanted to jump ship. And Paul says, except you abide in this ship, you cannot be saved. And then God spoke to him, said, Paul, not a soul on the ship is going to die. Now, when you've got confidence and you know the heart of God, you can talk to God like that. In the midst of your problem, in the midst of your challenges, you can say, God told me. God spoke to me. And you're not just basing it on feeling, you're basing it on what he has said in his word. Do I have any witnesses in here? It takes courage. It takes courage. And you got to have that courage. You got to be able to face your adversaries. For advancement, you've got to be able to face the barriers by saying that you believe, and then you've got to be committed to the fact that you know that your challenges will make you even more courageous. Those are things that we need to take to heart. February the 25th, 1964, something interesting happened to a man by the name of Charles, a.k.a. Sonny the Bear Liston. He was the heavyweight champion of the world. People feared that right hand of Sonny Lee. As a matter of fact, earlier that year, he knocked out Floyd Patterson. I know some of y'all probably not boxing fans. You don't care a whole lot of boxing. Some of y'all too young to even remember who Charles Sonny Liston was. All the young people that don't know him say, I don't know who he is. Okay. I will tell you, he had overcome some barriers in his own life. He learned to box while he was in prison because he thought that was the only thing that he could do. He said, if I can't get out any other way, I'm going to get out with my hands. He did something. Now, I'm going to prove a point in just a minute. But something happened on February the 25th. There was this guy over in the corner called the Louisville Lip. And he's just running his mouth at him. I mean, he's just taunting him. And so what had happened, because Muhammad Ali was so quick on his feet that time at Cassius Clay, you know, he's float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, just doing his stuff. And so what happened, Brother Sonny, he threw him as punch he could at him and couldn't hit him. That's because Muhammad Ali had studied Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston had not studied Muhammad Ali. Because earlier that year, one of his opponents actually knocked him down. That's right. You got to study. You got to understand what kind of battle you're in. Know the stuff that you're facing. And start saying to yourself, if it don't kill me, I'm going to come out stronger. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. The bell rang for Sonny Liston to come out of his corner. And the bell rang. And the bell rang. And he didn't answer the bell. He didn't answer the bell. He either didn't have the strength or he didn't have the courage to face this guy with a big mouth. So he spit out his mouthpiece, saying, I'm done. Some of you, the bell is ringing for 2019. You're going to sit over in the corner like you lost, don't know what to do, and not realizing that God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Are y'all still in the house? All right, couple more things. Then I know the chicken is on the stove. I know you got to get home. All right, but we got downstairs to tend to. But let me just tell you, you can either pick the fighting style of a wolverine, small animal, but they bad. You don't mess with a wolverine. They will fight. Or you can pick the fighting style of a possum. Rather than a possum fighting, it just lay down and go to sleep. As a matter of fact, what happens with the possum is that they've got this chemical in their body that whenever they get afraid, they just knock themselves out. And what I'm concerned with is that so many of you knocking yourself out. When God made you to have that wolverine spirit or that fighting spirit. Now go back and look at the history of your life. Look at the times that you did win. Don't count the fights that you lost. Because you still y'all. Let me hurry up and close. You got to pick which style or which way you're going to fight. But the bell is ringing. And the bell is saying you're going to either come out fighting or you're going to lose. My suggestion to you, come out fighting. Well, I feel a lion in me, you know. When you start thinking about how God has given you victory, how God has brought you out, there's no reason why we should not answer the bell. Look at somebody, tell them, answer the bell. Now, I'm going to tell you what Paul used, and I'm going to go to my seat. I'm going to tell you what Paul used for him to recognize success. Because the word that he uses, or the word that he refers to when he says, and a great door, and effectual, that word effectual means not only effective, but successful. Not only will I engage, but I will succeed. So I'm telling you that if you engage, you will also succeed, but there are certain things that you've got to change about yourself. Number one, you've got to look at this thing and recognize that fear has no place in your life. Because fear of the adversary turns you into the victim, and you've already lost before you get in the ring. Anytime you get into a place where you've got to fight for survival, and you're saying, I'm too afraid to fight, you've already lost. You've already lost. And you don't need to be intimidated by the things of this world. God has given you the spirit of grace and of power and of a sound mind. Second Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." You didn't get that from God. Now, naturally, you have this tendency to want to be safe, and so you have this healthy kind of fear that says, don't jump off, you know, of stuff, because, or in my case, I'm now 66 years old, and I don't get up on ladders that much, unless they're little short ones, not above my height. Anything above that, I get somebody else to do it. Why? Because old folk and falls don't do too well. So there's a healthy fear, but then there's an unhealthy fear that says, I will never be anybody. I will never get any place in life. I will not succeed. That is the kind of fear that God says does not belong in your life. He's not given you that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Everybody say, got it? All right, got it. All right, second factor that you got to understand about this thing, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be effectual, adversaries are no match for the gift of faith. They might come against you in hatred. They might come against you with animosity. They might come against you to say, I'm going to destroy you. But if you have faith in God, you don't have to be afraid of them. Because what he's given you will not only outsmart them, but you will outfight them. Because Muhammad Ali had studied Sonny Liston, he knew when he was going to swing. And so he'd go this way. He knew when he was going to swing, so he'd go that way. And then he'd float around a little bit more. And the more that he moved around, that weakened his enemy. If you stop in your journey of faith right where you are now, the enemy has you. What confuses him is that when you're a Paul and you've been stoned, what people are thinking to death, and yet you get up and you start preaching one more time. Folks shook their heads, said, that man must have God in him. Because I knew when I stoned him, I threw it upside his head. And yet he stands. When people hurl insults at you, when they lie on you, when they call you everything but a child of God, and you just dance around, you just let it glance off of you, that lets them know that you must have a power greater in you than the one in them. And you know what the demons start saying? You know what the demons start saying? Don't mess with them. They crazy. They love God too much. Don't even waste your time. You're not going to change their mind. Go on and get somebody else that's weaker, because you're strong in your faith. Everybody say, got it if you got it. Last point is that every battle, this is one I like, is an opportunity to call on God for backup. You know, as a military person, you never would go into a situation unless you called in and described exactly what you're facing and how you need help. In 1974, I believe it was, a KC-135 tanker crashed on the runway at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. And I and another airman by the name of Moore were stationed on flight line standby, which meant if something happened, we had to respond. And when that plane crashed, carrying a full load of fuel, we started the engine to that P-2 tanker and started headed toward the fire. Everybody else running from the fire, we're running to it, except for Moore. Moore was my airman, and he was supposed to be the turret guy that, if you know, you start the turret and you get the flow of the fire protection foam, get it out. And so Moore was over there. I'm driving the truck, and he's dancing around. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm saying, we're going to go and fight fire. It's what we've been trained to do, and it's what we will do. We came in, and we set up, but there's something else that we did. We called for backup. This is a church. We're not lone rangers. Hi-ho, silver. This is a church. And as a church, we have to back each other up. We have to be there to. I don't need to know everything about you. Okay, don't know. So don't think it's just a nosy opportunity. I didn't say that. What I did say, if we know that somebody is struggling, you be their backup. You pray for them. And you pray that God would give them victory in their life. Because God said he would never leave nor forsake us. I'm going to my seat. But as I think about this, and as you think about the backup that we have to understand that answering the bell of God means that we got to know our enemy. And Peter says that the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour, but he ain't eating us. And when the devil says to you, I'm coming your way, tell him, not today. This is not the day for me to be lion food. This is the day for me to have victory, because this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. And if you're going to answer the bell, know your enemy. Know who you're fighting. Know what you're up against. Know how the enemy's going to punch. Know how he's going to bring things your way. But then also know that God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Know that your faith is something that works in trials. James chapter 1 says, have this kind of attitude when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Your faith is working right now. Your faith is telling you, don't give up. You've come this far. God has made you to be a conqueror. Then stand up and fight. Stand up and believe that God's word is true. Then lastly, know that the opportunities are there for us to witness. The early church, they would go through oppositions and trials and run out of this town and run out of this place. And rather than them getting an attitude and saying, I'm going to call the ACLU. You know what they said? This is going to give us another opportunity to tell about the love of Jesus. Paul was one of the ones that was causing all the havoc. And Acts chapter 8, verse 3 and 4 says when Paul would come to arrest them and to bring them into prison, they would go to another place telling about the love of Jesus. When you're going about, it's your opportunity to tell how much you love the Lord. And I just want to ask this question. Are there any folks in the audience today that really, really love Jesus? I tried to find a bell, and I couldn't find one. I still can't find one. But I want to ask you to do one thing for me. Hold your ear to the element of what we call time, and you'll hear a bell ringing. That bell is calling you into the next year. That bell is calling you not to be a loser, but to be a winner. That's what God has created you to be. And I'm going to tell you this, stand up and fight for your faith. Because God loves you. Amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand. Was this an encouragement? Amen. Everybody say, got it? Get sick. I want to give the invitation. If there be someone today that perhaps, maybe you've been thinking, I can't answer the bell. I don't have what it takes. Let me give you the one solution. It's Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Maybe you've never said yes to him, but today is your day that you can say yes to the Lord and yes to his will for your life. And I promise you on next Sunday, I will not preach about Muhammad Ali. I will preach about what happened to Floyd Patterson. No, just kidding. But if there's one today, if there's one, will you come? Lord, I know you've been so good. Lord, I know you've been so good. And you watched all night long.